again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Slant, powered by Pro Football Focus and brought to you by DraftKings. I am your usual co-host, Michael Moore, along with my usual co-host, Russell Clay. Say hello, Russell.
How's it going, everyone?
We are back, Russ, after a one-week hiatus where I was in the quiet town of Daytona Beach for work stuff. Fun fact, not as fun in the wintertime as it is in the summertime, which I don't know if you or our listeners knew, but it is definitely not the college party that I was led to believe, but that's okay. You live and you learn, and I won't
work,
go back.
Work stuff, right.
Yeah, right. Well, again, it was not summer, and it was not, you know, spring break and none of that good stuff. So, anyway, but we are back, Russ, and even though we were out for a week, it seems like it's the same old story again. We will review the biggest injuries from this week, and there were some pretty big ones. Then we're going to get into a topic you actually thought of, which is some wide receivers that are sort of coming back from injury, maybe from suspension, see what they will be doing the rest of the year. And then we're going to review the bloodbath that was mock first-round drafts from the preseason and see who exactly warranted that first-round pick. And a lot of mock drafts. Fun fact, it was not many, if any, but we'll get to that. And then we will round out with our usual DraftKings value play. So without further ado, Russ, let's just jump right into it and let's get the ugliness out of the way. I'm going to kick off with Deion Lewis. This one probably hurts the most, I would say, of all season. Tore his ACL after, you know, really doing gangbusters the entire season. Came out of nowhere, the ultimate lottery ticket if you were lucky enough to grab him. But now he will be out the rest of the year. You know, he was acting as an RB1, I would say, in PPR leagues. Is that fair, Russ?
Absolutely. And he was sort of a one-hit wonder that he just never regressed off it. And he was a perfect fit in that offense, and he was playing awesome. I mean, I know PFF was really high on him with his elusiveness rating. And, it's just a sad sight. He did get that contract, so that's right. That's good for him. But, I mean, you never like to see the good story like this sort of come to an end so abruptly, but.
Yeah, I mean, look, he totaled 600 total yards in just seven games, which, look, for a New England running back, I'd say is truly reaching the mountaintop there. You know, he had 30-something receptions. I mean, he was really good and truly one of the feel-good stories, I would say, of fantasy. But now that he's gone for the year, Russ, let's first talk about who you think is going to replace him and what that outlook is for the rest of the year.
Well, I think we all saw the Brandon Bolden sort of wheel route touchdown at the end there. I'm not exactly sure how the passing usage is going to work out, but I think either way, LeGarrette Blount is trending in a really good direction right now. He's looked really good, even with Lewis there sort of in not a full-time role, but they were a full committee, and I can only imagine he's going to get a few more touches and benefit from this, you know?
I would think so. Yeah, if there's any running back to own there now, it's definitely Blount. You know, there's some chatter. You mentioned Bolden could possibly replace Lewis as that sort of receiving down back. It could be James White, which, you know, James White will just perpetually tease all of us. So, you know, take him at your own risk. But I'm with you. I think if you're going to go for the safest route, Blount is probably it. Probably taken in a lot of leagues, but I think if you can get him on the cheap, now would be the perfect time to do that. As far as affecting anyone else there, Russ, say, you know, Tom Brady, does this affect him at all, or is he still in full-on, you know, FU mode to the league and just going to keep torching people? I'm of the opinion he's just going to keep torching people and it doesn't really matter. I literally could replace Deion Lewis and he would probably still throw two touchdowns a game, truly.
I'm blown away when I watch these Patriots games. It's like every week they have the perfect game plan for the opposition. And you'd think like a few more teams would have this down where they could figure this out too, but it's nope. Just them. They're nope. The only ones that every week they have the perfect game plan. And they're just blowing people out. I don't see why this would stop, but I mean, in terms of Brady, this might hurt him a little bit just because he doesn't have that guy sort of making yards for him doing when he doesn't really have to do anything. But yeah, no, this is a well-oiled machine right now.
Yeah. And look, we'll get into it in a little bit. I think there might be some guys that benefit. Like, I definitely think someone like Julian Edelman might benefit a little bit, a slight uptick in targets. You know, Gronk is Gronk. He's always going to be there. But even a guy like LaFell, which, like I said, we'll get to in a little bit, I think could see some extra usage. So,
yeah, short passing game, like you mentioned, probably see a slight uptick. But yeah.
All right, let's move on to the other big injury of the week, Ben Roethlisberger, which this is not his first time in this segment of the show, Russ. This time with a foot injury, but luckily for him and for us, probably only out 1 to 2 weeks. The Steelers do have a bye in 2 weeks, so technically he really will only miss one game. What does this do for your opinion of him rest of the way, Russ? Let's get that out of the way. I mean, is it just to the point where you're just expecting something else to happen, or are you rolling with him once he comes back again?
The injuries are building up. He's clearly not going to be 100% for the rest of the season. I mean, chances are he's still
really been 100% like in the last 5 years, Russ.
He's a cyborg at this point. I will admit that, but to a certain extent, like, I'm sure he's still hurting from that other injury he had, you know, and this looked bad. He should be fine. He'll be back in there regardless, even if he can't use that ankle, but because Ben Roethlisberger's unbelievable. But this Steelers offense just seems like it's going to go down as we want it to,
offense to never produce,
right? Like, never get everyone on the field. I heard that, like, the Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, like, those four were only on the field for 18 snaps together this year, which is just so miserable. Because you see them all, individually, and they're all fantastic. So hopefully next year we can get everyone back and healthy. But I don't know.
So on that note, with Roethlisberger out at least next week, enter Landry Jones. Not bad yesterday. I mean, look, he did find Martavis Bryant for a touchdown towards the very end there. So what's your opinion of Jones? Where are you ranking him as far as next week's rankings go? I mean, quarterback one would be pretty pretty bold. So I'm going to assume you're not going that far.
No, I roughly looking at it, I'd probably have him around quarterback 20. I mean, yeah. I love his options, but I just can't put him any higher than that because he's Landry Jones. As we saw with the Martavis Bryant touchdown, I mean, it was a beautiful screen. Like, he just took out three defenders.
Right, and I should say, Russ, that was Ben Roethlisberger. I was mistaken. I thought the Roethlisberger injury happened apparently sooner than it did. But
either way, the point stands that Martavis Bryant can do things without Landry Jones being a big part of it. If you get the ball in his hands, which he can on screens and stuff like that, Martavis Bryant can make huge plays out of nothing. So same with Antonio Brown, although he's very I'm not buying him as much anymore. We saw kind of what it looked like without Roethlisberger. So
we did, and it was kind of scary. Even after his record-setting performance yesterday, which I did see someone tweet, I can't take credit for this, but somebody tweeted that he had a good month yesterday, so which was pretty good. I think if anyone's going to benefit from this, Russ, it's probably D'Angelo Williams. You know, 250 total yards yesterday. But look, they're probably going to rely on him even more next week with Landry Jones in there. So for next week, I think I'm with you. I think what I'm hearing is probably avoid for next week and just take the bye week for the Steelers and hope everyone, or at least Roethlisberger, comes back healthy the week after that.
Right.
All right. And the last one here, Russ, sort of under the radar, we have Latavius Murray, who is now in concussion protocol. So possible he misses next week. Tywan Jones would be in line. Where would you put Jones then next week for the Raiders? I mean, look, that Raiders offense is clicking. And I wish I could say that I called it, but I didn't. But look, they are. I will readily admit that. So assuming Latavius Murray sits out next week and you've got Tywan Jones starting, where are you putting him? Running back two, maybe in the flex position? Where does he go for you?
Just because running back is a complete dumpster fire, I'm sure a lot of people are trying to pick him up off the waiver wire and sort of spot start him randomly as a flex. I don't know that I would call him a running back too. The Raiders are a pass first offense, which is shocking to say. Derek Carr has looked great. Shocking to say.
I'm with you. I readily admit my errors, and I'm riding the Derek Carr train the rest of the way.
So. But purely in terms of Tywan Jones, he's an athletic player, but I don't know. I'm probably fading that next week.
Yeah, if anything, load up on Derek Carr, load up on Michael Crabtree, load up on Amari Cooper, and look, just hope they get in a shootout, and they typically do. So, yeah, it should be good time. So, all right, Russ. Well, that was the bad news for this portion of the podcast. Let's get to some good news. We've got several receivers coming back over the last couple of weeks. Some are still sort of getting into their groove, but a lot of them, you know, are considered wide receiver ones. At least they were heading into this season. So let's look at some guys bouncing back and see what your take is on them. Let's start with Mr. Dez Bryant, who luckily is Matt Castle-proof and Brandon Whedon-proof and any other type of running back or quarterback-proof. You know, we've still got Tony Romo out for a couple more weeks for us, but it does look like Dez Bryant is, if not all the way healthy, he's certainly on the edge. So where are you putting Dez the rest of the way? Because a lot of people had him probably the top one or two receiver in fantasy heading into this year. Is he that for you the rest of the way?
I'd say he's heading towards being a wide receiver one right now. I wouldn't. Okay. There's so many good options right now. I think he's probably still in that wide receiver sort of 14 to 20 range. But, yeah, I mean, Dez Bryant's an elite talent, potentially a generational player. It appears it doesn't matter his quarterback unless they're playing Seattle. So, yeah, I'm buying him. He's back and he's an elite player. So
even last night with that little, like that pass A probably should have been intercepted. The one Castle just like lunged in the end zone. But look, Dez timed it perfectly. He jumped higher than everyone else and he came down with it. And that's right. What Dez does.
That play displayed exactly what he is and how dominant he is. So,
yeah, I think I'm with you. I mean, look, his value will literally never be lower than it is right now with Romo still out. So if there's some way you can procure him, do it, because you probably won't after this. So, all right, let's move on to another pretty dominant receiver in his own right, Russ, Mike Evans. Who was out the first couple weeks battling injury. He's coming back. He's played in, my smoke detector's going off just again. I hope I can ignore that. Maybe?
If you want to mute yourself, I can. Oh, it's off.
Is it off?
Nope.
No, let me mute it. Hold on.
All right. Mute. Just so you guys know, this is fantastic right now. We are stars in the making. Back to Mike Evans for a second. Since he's come back, he's had two games of above 150 receiving yards. And in that time span, he's had 50 targets in three games. So – I know a lot of people are talking about the drops right now and that being a huge issue for him. But based on the volume he's getting and based on his rookie year and how he played, things should average out. I mean, wide receivers drop passes. I understand there's a lot of volume to it right now. But when you look at a guy like Jordan Matthews as well, they're second-year players. They're still very young. They're still learning. So they're number one players in their offenses, and this goes for both of them. You don't have to worry about the drops. The drops are going to happen, and they're part of the game, but that's not something I'm worried about, even for the rest of the season, never mind the rest of their careers.
Yeah, and I'm just going to jump right back in, Russ. Evans, I'm assuming you're talking about the six drops he had yesterday.
Right.
Despite that, still 8 for 152.
Right.
You know, which is still pretty good. He's had a real up and down season so far. So, yeah, but again, I caught the tail end of what you were saying, which is I think you still roll with him because he's capable of those high ceiling days.
It's like I've never seen a guy go for 150 receiving yards and just people like not think he did well. Like he did well. He had 150 receiving yards. I realize it was on 19 targets, but most NFL receivers will never have a game with 150 receiving yards. So let's keep it in context here.
I'm with you there, Russ. All right. So let's move on to some probably not quite wide receiver ones, but still guys that I think will have a lot of value. One that's probably really flying under the radar at this point, Brandon LaFell, finally back from the, I believe it's the PUP list. He was out the first 6 weeks, still was sort of getting into the groove there. But he's definitely coming back. And like we mentioned before, you've got Deion Lewis out now, which takes away one weapon there in New England. But look, LaFell came back yesterday, 5 of 9 for 102 yards. Not bad in only his third game of the year. So, you know, and LaFell had one of those surprising years last year where he had almost 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. So I guess the question is, Russ, are you buying the fact that LaFell is continuing the good year he had last year, or is this a flash in the pan for this week?
The Patriots have been pretty transparent since he's come back that they want to get him the ball. I mean, the targets have been consistent. In terms of his skill level, I think we saw last year that he can be a productive player in that offense. He's not going to be a superstar, but he can be sort of that third option in the passing game, and in a Tom Brady-led offense, that's a pretty good thing. But like I said, the targets are an indicator of how the like team wants to go. So the fact that he's been getting targets consistently, even though the results hadn't been there until this week, it was trending in the right direction either way.
Well, and look, let me ask you a rhetorical question, Russ. Who is the deep threat in the New England offense?
Right.
It's LaFell. There's no one else.
Right.
They don't throw it downfield. So,
or at least the intermediate to deep
threat. Right.
Which, like, yeah, that's the farthest. Right. Like you said, that's the farthest down the field they go. So.
Well, yeah, there is no Randy Moss 2007 just going on a fly route. But yeah, look, LaFell is one of those sort of high ceiling guys, which look, he could get you a zero on a week. But again, don't play him like a wide receiver too. I mean, play him like a high upside flex play. And even, you know, a low cost option on the daily sites, DraftKings and FanDuel. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, look, I'm buying any shares on the New England receiving game. I mean, look, even Danny Amendola had a decent game and couple games the last few weeks. So,
oh yeah, that's probably going to hurt him, huh?
Probably, but look, yeah, if you were relying on Danny Amendola, then I don't know what to tell you. I'm gonna ask you to delete your account politely. So, all right. Another guy that we mentioned a little earlier in the podcast, Russ, Martavis Bryant, you know, came back from that 4-week suspension to start the season. You know, it's he's, if anyone, I think, has been really hit or miss to start this year. And look, obviously the injuries to Roethlisberger are having an effect on that. You know, it wasn't real advantageous to be catching passes from Michael Vick for a few weeks there. But Roethlisberger appears to be coming back for the long term in a couple weeks, God willing. Hopefully that gets Bryant back in his groove. But I don't know. Are you buying or selling on Martavis, Russ?
For Dynasty, if I can get him for cheaper right now, which cheap relative term because he's a young wide receiver right. who's shown big plays. But for redraft, again, with Roethlisberger in, I love him. But without him, I'm not necessarily buying him. If you have him stashed and you need a wide receiver three or a flex, I think you can still throw him in there, especially if you think you're an underdog in a matchup or something. But, God, the screenplay that he took for a touchdown was amazing. And I won't even say it was embarrassing for the defenders because he's just so athletically superior to all three of those guys that,
yeah.
I don't know, it was just a really impressive play. And it might have changed how I view him a little bit. As so I mentioned quite a bit.
Not just the Hail Mary threat that he did so well last year.
Right. I might be coming around on him a little bit. So,
yeah, I mean, the last 3 weeks, 31 yards, 49 yards, and 45 yards.
Right.
You know, and now given he had two touchdowns during that span, so he is saving his value, but definitely not the type of season I think we were hoping for. That's for sure.
No,
but again, not. Still averaging 16 yards of reception. So I think I'm with you. If he's a wide receiver three or a flex on your team, I think that's the perfect spot for him. But you know, I think the dreams of him being a wide receiver two are probably gone for this.
Yeah, definitely.
You know. All right. So let's get to some breaking news, Russ, because we are all about the fresh content here. Wes Welker, of all people, which I don't know that Wes Welker has been mentioned on a podcast in, oh, I don't know, probably a year or two, signed with the Rams today. The Rams, who, you know, are making a go of it this season. They're not going away quietly. And there certainly hasn't been a whole lot of other options there in St. Louis. I mean, Tavon Austin, I will admit, has had a pretty good bounce back season, but you've got Welker there. Is there anything to that? I mean, look, he was brought in. Stedman Bailey's going to be suspended for 4 games. That's primarily why they brought Welker in. But does this do or mean anything to you? Just so we can get it out of the way. Just so our listeners, if they're having any, you know, random thoughts about this, you can squash it right now, Russ. Squash it, if you will.
This might be
You're
the most
speechless, Russ. This, you can't this even might, get the words out.
Wes Welker might be the most redundant piece to Tavon Austin in the entire world. Like that might be the most redundant thing that has ever happened in the entire world. He's the receiver that has been working for them this year, you know? Like, they don't need the short sort of screens and slot type of role. They don't need that type of receiver. So I don't get this at all.
You know, it could be whatever you want to call it. It could be the, hey, the wily veteran presence. It could, who knows? But the bottom line is I don't know that he's worth picking up in 12 or even 16 team redraft league.
Yeah,
right?
No.
I mean, look, there wasn't outside of Tavon, there wasn't a receiver there anyway. Tavon is still going to be the best option there,
right? And if they're gonna throw it deep, it's going to be to like Kenny Britt or something.
You would think. Oh. And just to put it in perspective, Nick Foles had one game over 200 yards, and that was Week 1. He has not had over 200 yards since then. He's had exactly on the season 7 touchdowns, but 3 of those came against a game at Arizona. So, yeah, I just, you know, if there's anyone listening who's a Wes Welker fan, I apologize. It is definitely not happening for you.
Yeah, like you mentioned, they're so run heavy now.
As they should be. Like,
right. Well, yeah.
You know, good. They're playing to their strength, thank God. Mm-hmm. All right. So that takes care of some receivers bouncing back. And, you know, whether it's Dez or Mike Evans or even Brandon LaFell and Martavis Bryant, Russ, those are some pretty good options, especially on DraftKings. Speaking of which, with millions being won each week, every player in every game could take you closer to a life-changing payday. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code PFF to play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter PFF for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. Which, by the way, for those listening on the podcast, we will get to our DraftKings value plays a little later in the show. But first, because we like to torture ourselves, me and Russ are going to look at the first round ADP of some players. Previous to the beginning of the season, and pretty much just commiserate and talk about how way off everyone was. So without further ado, Russ, please lead the way.
I wouldn't necessarily say like how wrong we all were, but it just puts things in such crazy perspective of how long the season is and how many roster moves you should be making and just yeah, the journey. Anyhow.
The but, journey. I like that. The journey. lead us on the journey, Russ. Take it away.
All right. So first, I'm going to do the top three. Okay. Number one was Le'Veon Bell in ADP.
Yeah.
Number two.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, with Bell, that's one of those things that I don't really blame him. And I don't really blame people that took him. I mean, he's been injured and he's going to be injured very seriously now. That's one of those things that you draft him and he suffers a catastrophic injury, but you know, not a whole lot you can do with that.
Process over results, you know,
there you go. Right.
Number two, Adrian Peterson.
Well, and you had a very interesting point on this, Russ. Why don't you tell the folks at home what you had tweeted earlier that you and I had mentioned before the show?
Yeah, so I was kind of going through this myself the other day, and because there were so many major injuries that had happened in the past few weeks that I was so interested to look back at these first few rounds. And Adrian Peterson hasn't played well this year and his team has struggled. His O-line has been bad. I mean, he's been all right, but he hasn't been sort of the freak of nature we're used to. But just by process of elimination, he's really the only one left. And by that, he has sort of become one of the better values. And if you picked him, you still have a running back one on your team, whereas all the people that drafted around you are not in the same position.
They are dead in the water. Yeah, I mean, like you said, and living up to their name is very different for each player. So right. Adrian Peterson, he of the, 2,000-yard season and almost record-breaking season, he's got 758 yards halfway through the season. It's still a very good year, only four touchdowns, which I think is really dropping his value. But, yeah, I mean, relative to what Peterson usually does, I would, it's just difficult.
He's not hitting value of what a number two overall pick would be, like not even close. Right. But the point is, it doesn't really.
Think about it, doesn't really happen a whole lot anymore. But like you and I are going to discuss a little further. Your idea of a round one pick has changed drastically because there's so much value in the later rounds. It's just difficult to get a guy that's head and shoulders above everyone else in that first round. So he's an interesting character fantasy wise. Cause like I said, it doesn't seem like he's having a good year by his standards, but again, those are his standards, and by anyone else's standards, he's having a pretty decent year, but it's very confusing, Russ. I'm very confused by this whole fantasy madness. So. Anyway,
number three, Fat Eddie Lacy.
Oh boy, Yeah.
And this is one of the few that's just a straight up bust. He didn't get hurt. I mean, he was a little injured, but it wasn't like a major injury or anything. And James Starks is kind of
so. Anyway,
number 3, Fat Eddie Lacy.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And this is one of the few that's just a straight up bust. He didn't get hurt. I mean, he was a little injured, but it wasn't like a major injury or anything. And James Starks is kind of coming on here, which after 5 or so years, I didn't really see this coming, but he's kind of making this a committee right now, and I'm kind of shocked.
He's sticking around, man. I mean, Starks, that is. I mean, he gains yards when he needs to gain yards. But, yeah, Eddie Lacy, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, through 8 games, he's got 83 rushes, 308 yards. He's literally averaging 38.5 yards per game. I believe Cam Newton literally has more rushing yards than Eddie Lacy. So, only 2 touchdowns, only 92 yards receiving halfway through the season after 427 receiving yards last year. Yeah, there's no other way to put it. He's a bust. And look, it's not as if the Packers are going to live and die by Eddie Lacy. If he's not working, believe me, they won't hesitate to plug Starks in there to get something going. So, yeah, let's put it this way. He takes the early lead in most disappointing first round pick. Okay, we have a couple more guys to go, but he's the leader at this stage. So,
right. All right. Number 4, Jamaal Charles.
Yeah, just stick him with Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he was on his way. He was having a very productive year. Truly the only playmaker, it seemed like, that Andy Reid trusted on that entire Chiefs offense. Travis Kelce, where are you? But, yeah, another torn ACL for Charles. You know, for redraft, obviously he's done. For Dynasty, I think you got to start considering he might be done. Again, which is so unfortunate. He has literally, and I've said literally a lot this podcast, but this time it's truly going to emphasize this point. You know, he was averaging 5.1 yards a carry this year. He hasn't averaged less than 5 yards a carry his entire career that spans 8 seasons. I mean, that's amazing. If Jamaal Charles had the kind of volume some of these other guys had, which, again, you could argue he wouldn't keep that yards per carry average up, but still, I mean, you're talking about one of the all-time greatest players if you're just talking about in a vacuum for one game. I mean, he's it. He's up there.
All his statistics, like, total, all check out as, like, an all-time running back. And, I mean, he hasn't had the volume, like you said, of an Adrian Peterson. But he's arguably been better per touch. So
I would agree. I mean, look, even this year, he was averaging 100 total yards a game. He had 5 touchdowns through 5 games, 8.4 yards a reception for a running back, and the 5.1 yards per carry. So
what is your take on a Jamaal Charles like back who got a major injury in sort of age 20, I think his age 27 season? Does that worry you with the age curve and
He's 28 now. He will be 29 in December, it's modern medicine and science is a wonderful thing, as we've seen with Adrian Peterson. If you're a freak of nature, then you got a chance. But, you know, look, the odds say it's not going to happen. Don't get me wrong. I wish it happens for Jamaal Charles. I hope he bounces back, but I don't know, man. He's going to be 29 coming off a torn ACL next year, which, again, we did see it. Okay, Adrian Peterson did do it, but I don't have the all the numbers, but I got to believe that the odds are against him for next year. So.
All right.
Who's next on your hit list?
Number 5. A weird one. Kind of going under the radar. Marshawn Lynch.
Another weird season. You know, I don't know what to make of all these guys. And Seattle just in general has had kind of a weird season. you know, look, I think we could admit Russell Wilson has not been a top fantasy option this year. Obviously, Jimmy Graham has definitely not lived up to his track record, is what I'll say. But Lynch sort of keeps on going. Look, they felt comfortable enough in the offseason to trade Kristen Michael, cut Robert Turbin. They brought in Fred Jackson, who's even older than Marshawn Lynch, is to be his primary backup. It's one of those seasons, I don't know what to make of it. He's got 103 carries, 375 yards. He's only averaging 62 yards a game. He's down to 3.6 yards a carry and only two touchdowns. So, you know, definitely a down year by Lynch standards. But again, he's one of those guys that I think you can rely on to get 20 carries a game. And I think he'll eventually break through. I mean, even the last two games has been sort of a glimmer of hope. Before the bye week, he was at Dallas, 21 carries for 71 yards. Before that, 27 carries for 122 yards. So, you know, I think he's trending in the right direction. Obviously, he hasn't played like a running back one this year, but, you know, sort of like your point with Peterson, as long as he's healthy for the most part and he's the primary running back in that offense, I think he's still a low-end running back one just because I don't know who else is there.
I mentioned a few weeks ago, like, you don't necessarily want to prime yet. You better get something moving now because the playoffs are getting here. And for if you did draft Lynch, hopefully you found an alternative. If you didn't, you're probably out of the playoff hunt. But if you did and you're getting him back sort of as the running back one caliber player, then you could be looking at a really nice stretch run as him coming in sort of off the bench for you, you know?
Yeah, I think he's definitely one of those guys that you could probably get on the cheap right now, just because he hasn't blown the doors off, you know. But look, if you're running back needy, I don't know of a lot of guys that you would want to rely on heading into the home stretch than Lynch right now. So, all right, next up on the hit parade, Russ,
Antonio Brown, number six.
Even with the even though playing with his third quarterback now, he still has turned in a pretty good season, I would say. I mean, even obviously yesterday going off for 287 receiving yards was pretty good. You know, he's played luckily in all nine games this season. Already at 1,000 yards, by the way, for the year. 14 and a half yards a catch. And three touchdowns, which, you know, you could say he's a little touchdown light, but again, I think that's a lot of the function of the quarterback position. So I think he's played up to the wide receiver one standard, especially in a PPR league. I mean, you've got 69 catches so far. So he's on pace for 130, 140 catches and, you know, just short of 2,000 receiving yards. I think he's lived up to the hype, don't you?
I think I look at this as you're happy with this pick. I just look at the lull in the weeks 4, 5, and 6, where he had 42 yards against Baltimore, 45 against San Diego, and 24 against Arizona. It's just a what could have been season. Based on his age and everything, the sky would have been the limit with Roethlisberger. I mean, he had 400 yard games with Roethlisberger in. So, well,
and I completely agree with you there. It's truly scary to imagine.
Yeah.
What could have been.
Who's to say, like, he has 1,000 yards already, and that's with like 4 or 5 games without Roethlisberger. So, I don't know. He could have had a monster season. He's still having a really good year, and I'd say he's returned value as well. So yeah, overall, you're really happy with that pick.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's one of the few guys that could legitimately say he earned his first round pick so far. So, all right, next up, Russ, who do you got?
Rob Gronkowski, New England.
And that's an interesting case. And look, let's review. So a lot of folks picked him Obviously not because he was going to be the highest scoring or the top 10 highest scoring player in your league, but he was going to be far and away better than any other tight end out there, period. And I think he still is. The only question is that difference enough to make him a first round pick? Which, look, as we've talked about so far, we've gotten one, maybe two players worthy of that pick so far. So far this year, halfway through the season, 44 catches, 693 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So, look, he's on pace for 1,400 yards, 90 catches, and about 14 touchdowns. So I would say still worth it at this point.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you play in sort of a flex type league where you have extra roster spots. Gronk was a good pick there, and he returned value. They don't use him in that offense as much as I expect. It seems like they're almost saving him a little bit. He's already had he's only had 3 games under 67 receiving yards. Never mind. He's been awesome.
He's so good. He's so good.
He's returned value.
Yeah, I would say so. All right, next up, Russ.
Number 8, Aaron Rodgers.
No. Def's not. And look, no one loves taking quarterbacks early in drafts than I do, whether it's, you know, whether you're spending a lot on daily stuff, you're in a dynasty startup draft. But yeah, he just hasn't earned it this year. I think it's not just he hasn't earned it with his own play, but I think hopefully people realize there's a lot of good quarterbacks out there. And the difference between, say, the top option and the next couple options is not that much. It's just not. I mean, look, if you drafted Andy Dalton in the 12th round this year, you've already blown Aaron Rodgers out of the water as far as fantasy value goes. So hopefully, and look, same thing with Andrew Luck. A lot of people took him very early on, and he hasn't quite returned the value either. So hopefully this has shown people the light on quarterbacks and made them realize, look, you can sit on quarterbacks. You need to hoard all the top flight running backs and receivers you can and take your chances, because if you don't have one of those, then you're done.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Andy Dalton, who was basically on the waiver wire as the season started. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr. I mean, Philip Rivers was really cheap. Tom Brady, you could have gotten late. So, yeah, the move is to wait. I mean, even if you can get him in the second round of these drafts, it's just so easy to find guys later that you need to hit up running back and wide receiver. So when your guys go out for the year, you got some backup at that position.
You can be prepared.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Next up, Russ.
Matt Forte, Chicago.
Oof. So obviously out with, I believe, an MCL sprain, is not playing tonight on Monday Night Football. But he's another one of those guys that, to me, is kind of like Peterson and Lynch that we've talked about, where you don't realize he's turning in a fairly solid season, but he is, at least before the injury. And look, he's one of those guys that he's 29, but he keeps on ticking. I mean, you know, through 7 games this year, he had 548 yards, so he was averaging 78 rushing yards a game. Had 219 receiving yards, so he was averaging 30 more receiving yards. He was averaging over 100 yards a game. He had 3 touchdowns, so again, a little touchdown light, but I think could have made that up. So, yeah, I think up until the injury, I think he proved his worth as a first-round pick.
And he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks here, but hopefully if you had him, you just grabbed Jeremy Langford and threw him in your lineup and hoping for the best. But yeah, he's kind of chugging along, and he's such a unique player. He's just having another Matt Forte year, and when he comes back, he's going to do the thing where he gets a bunch of volume in receiving and running. So,
and the Bears are probably going to be – yeah, the Bears are probably going to be bad, and they're going to be playing behind, and he's going to get a bunch of screens, and that's what he's going to do. So, all right, round us out, Russ, with number 10.
DeMarco Murray, Philadelphia.
You know, definitely the first month or so, I would say no way did he earn his first round value. But, you know, I don't know if people have noticed, but the last few weeks he's come on pretty strong. You know, obviously didn't have a crazy game last night against Dallas, I think, like some of us were hoping in that sort of revenge scenario. But look, even despite that, he's played seven games, 390 yards for the season. But look, the last three games, 83, 65, 112, and even before that, 83, and three touchdowns in that span. So definitely the first 3 weeks, you know, was awful. But look, I think he's trending in the right direction. So I say right now he's on the cusp, but I think by season's end, I think he proves that value.
Yeah, he's really turning the car around. He was heading in the wrong direction, and he decided to turn it around. He's been pretty consistent over the last 4 weeks. So it was kind of like he was just suspended those first four games, except Instead of not being in your lineup, he was in your lineup. So,
well, and look, the thing people got to realize is he's not going to get 30 carries in that offense like he did in Dallas a couple weeks last year. I mean, like, his most carries he's had this season were 21 in a game. That's the most. Okay, so that's your ceiling, is 20 carries a game. And look, he's going to make them count, but again, you can't rely on that heavy volume that he had last year. You got to bank on 20 carries, maybe 80, 90 yards, and hope for a touchdown, you know. And actually, as a side note, kind of a sneaky play in the receiving game. Last week, or yesterday, I should say, with Dallas, 6 for 78. Before that, 2 catches for 5 yards. Before that, 3 catches for 14 yards. But before that, 7 for 37. So, look, there's some weeks he's getting a half a dozen catches. So, I think he's definitely trending in the right direction there. So, but thank you, Russ. That was brutal, and it makes us all question our fantasy prowess, even the ones that do podcasts like you and I. So, all right. So to round out this week's show, Russ, let's look at some DraftKings value plays for Week 10. Salaries are already posted, so kick us off.
Yeah, looking at quarterbacks again, and I feel like we literally mention Andy Dalton every week, but 6,500 at home against Houston. Those are just – why? That's just a combination of things that all are good. So
if you're in a cash game, just do it already. I mean, that's good for the salary is good for the 9th or 10th ranked quarterback. Okay. So I don't get it. I don't get it, but yes, I'm with you. Play Andy Dalton, play him all day.
Running back. I love Gurley again. He's at home against Chicago. He's 7,300, so his price is steadily rising, but I still think at that price point, he's still very much worth it.
Well, and look, you alluded to it earlier. Who else do they have there on that offense? They don't have anyone. Wes Welker is not, you know, walking through that door and, like, you know.
Well, he is.
Well, he is, but... Well.
He's limping through the door.
Yeah, and he's going to go right back out the door. But, you know, I think I'm with you on this. I mean, Gurley is the highest-priced running back for this week, at least on the Sunday games. But, yeah, I don't think there's anyone doubting him at this point. I mean, to me, he's almost more of a sure thing every week right now than Devontae Freeman is. Look, I think it's going to be that way the rest of the way. So. All right. So some other running backs, you know, we mentioned the Deion Lewis injury and certainly something to monitor. But look, you've got James White in there, potential Deion Lewis replacement at the $3,000 salary. Additionally, if it turns out to be Brandon Bolden, which it could be, also at $3,000. So that's one of those things that just look, you know, try to read the tea leaves this week. But one of those guys is going to get more action than he is used to. And look, all it takes is one touchdown for that $3,000 salary to be worth it. So, all right, Russ, let's move on to receivers. Who do you got?
So I'm looking at Devontae Adams, 4,200 versus Detroit. He came back 2 weeks ago, and he didn't really do much because they were in a really tough matchup. But last week, 7 for 92, or 7 for 93, and 18 DraftKings points at 3,900. And he only went up 300. They're desperate for sort of a second or third option in that passing game. And it seems like they're just going to plug him in. So, and against a tough Carolina defense. So I think against Detroit, he's a really good bet.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm looking at, you know, we just talked about it. Mike Evans has had some really good games this year. And, you know, a little pricey at 6,800. But look, if he's your most expensive receiver and you're counting on him to be your most productive, I think that's a great value right there. You know, you're not necessarily spending the $7,000-$8,000 for the top end options like Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham, but you could still get that kind of production. You know, I mean, look, 8 for 150 last week, and that was with 6 drops. So if he cuts those in half, you know, you're looking at 10 catches for maybe 200 yards or so.
Absolutely.
Another guy that I like, and I wrote about him on the Dynasty Stock Watch on ProFootballFocus.com, just to plug my own stuff. Willie Snead, New Orleans, price at a cool 4,900. But look, he had 6 for 95 yards last week. No touchdowns. But again, those are kind of luck when you're getting to receivers at this level. So I think that's another guy that's a pretty good value in a very good offense that is gaining steam right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's become a real part of that offense. And once you become a real part of Drew Brees' offense, you're going to have some big weeks.
You're his boy. He literally, God, I say literally a lot, but he has replaced Marcus Colston even before Marcus Colston was out of there. So, all right. Tight ends, Russ. And you and I sort of touched on this point, but why don't you let the listeners know what you and I are thinking on that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Gronk has a nice matchup against the Giants. So there's always the option to pay up for him. But where we're kind of looking this week is sort of that there's Gary Barnage is 4,800, Travis Kelce's 4,800, and Delanie Walker's 4,700. I'm trying to target those three, maybe diversify a little bit, get some of them in all my lineups. So that's kind of how I'm playing that. And I think you agreed. Correct.
Yeah. It's just, you know, behind Gronk, you just never know which tight end's going to produce. And look, I think that's reflected in the pricing, meaning, you know, Gronk is far and away the most expensive option because he's, you know, of all of them, the most consistent. It was Gary Barnage as far as most consistent, but, you know, 2 catches for 35 yards last week. Now, I'm not going to say it's because we didn't do our podcast last week, but look, I'm going to let you all at home draw your own conclusions there. If he goes off this week, then I think we all know why. But, yeah, I think there's just a gluttony of tight ends in that price range between the 45 and 5,000 mark that, look, you can't really go wrong with any of them because any one of them could go off any week. So, all right. Overall, Russ, any lottery tickets or any guys you see that people should be on the lookout this week in DraftKings?
I mean, Michael Floyd is always fun.
Oh, no.
He's playing Seattle this week. So
you are leading the Michael Floyd Truthers meeting for this week, Russ. Good luck. Good luck.
You know what? All right, never mind. I do like him as sort of a punt play that's going to be low owned, but Jameson.
And don't get me wrong, I agree with you there. Because like at 3,800, you can't argue with that price. You really can't. And as we know, as we've learned, I think you know, whichever Arizona receiver produces in any given week is anyone's guess. I think Carson Palmer, like, wakes up on Sunday and just decides, I think I'm going to throw it to Mike this week. Or like, you know what? Larry's been nice to me in practice, so I'm going to just throw him the ball. Like, I really think that's what's happening. So if anyone can guess the wide receiver trend there in Arizona, then good for you. But if you can't, like the rest of us, Michael Floyd is a fine play in tournament and punt plays. So.
What Carson Palmer put in his oatmeal this morning.
There you go.
And Jamison Crowder. I thought with DeSean Jackson coming back, he would sort of fall back into a more limited role, but it seems like Pierre Garçon's sort of getting, I think his role might be getting slowly pushed out of the way. He hasn't had a high ceiling this year, but for 3,500, you're looking at 5 or 6 catches for 50 yards. So,
yeah.
And one of these weeks he's going to get a touchdown. So he's, he's pretty interesting to me.
Yeah. I would say the last one for me, and we touched on this guy before, but Derek Carr, priced at only 5,800 at the low, low price. But, you know, like you and I talked about, if Latavius Murray's out with a concussion this week, look, they're going to be slinging it, man, and they're going to be at right. home. They are playing Minnesota, which is a good defense. But, look, that duo of Crabtree and Cooper is turning into a pretty good one.
PFF Radio is powered by Pro Football Focus. Follow PFF Radio on Twitter, at PFF Radio. Also follow us on Twitter, at PFF_fantasy. Join the conversation and like us on Facebook, and plus one us on Google+.